Tennessee Claflin and her sister Victoria. But this is really about Tennessee Claflin. She also has an alias called Tenny C, and that's spelled T-E-N-N-I-E, and then a C with a period behind it. Now, Tennessee was born on the 26th of October, 1844, and her childhood and early life was spent helping her mother, along with her sister Victoria, to make a living. And at different times, her mother had dealt with prostitution, spiritualism, it's kind of interesting, magnetic healing, and also claims of being clairvoyant. Now, eventually, Tennessee and her sister Victoria Woodhull, using what they learned from Mom, went out on their own to make their own fortune, and they would be quite successful. They finally hit pay dirt when they offered their services to millionaire Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt. He liked sexually attractive women, and quite frankly, who doesn't? And he was also interested in psychic healers, so we evidently get both of them rolled into one here. He believed that psychic healers could prolong life, and in addition, you could also have good health. So Tennessee and Victoria worked their sexual and psychic talents in the convincing Commodore Vanderbilt, who, by the way, is age 74 at this particular time, that they, and Tennessee in particular, could use their powers as a medium and magnets to heal him, make him more vibrant, healthier, and live longer. Now, of course, at the age of 74, he's way beyond the life expectancy of the average American at this time. But, hey, you know, he wants to live forever. Now, here's the process. What would happen is Tennessee would heal, in the quotes here, heal him by putting her hands on Vanderbilt's body to pass her electrical energy from her body to his. Well, then gradually she joined other parts of her body to his. You know, the more couplings that you can get, the greater the electrical flow, one would assume. It's not a big surprise that afterwards Vanderbilt felt better, and immediately not only did Tennessee become his psychic healer, but also his mistress. Now, after about a year and a half, Tennessee, who, by the way, Vanderbilt referred to her as his little sparrow, her and Victoria were set up in a Wall Street brokerage firm, which was called Woodhull and Claflin and Company. And the company did really well. Obviously, the Vanderbilts supported her, and friends of the Vanderbilts, and, of course, important stock tips. Now, today we refer to that as insider trading. But that was just called, in those days, a good hot tip, which allowed you to make a killing in the market. Today you go to prison, but that helps. Now, later on, Victoria became a feminist leader and also ran for president in 1872. And her presidential campaign was supported to some extent by Vanderbilt and his money, but also they had another little sideline. The sisters also published a weekly, and it was called Woodhull and Claflin Weekly. And what this did is it published scandals and all sorts of different things, but they published a famous scandal from the time period, and that is a scandal between preacher Henry Ward Beecher and Elizabeth Richards Tilton. Now, originally, Tennessee and Victoria, before breaking the story, approached Beecher for an endorsement. If he would endorse Victoria for president, they wouldn't expose him. Of course, very, very well-known individual. But he was kind of reluctant. However, Theodore Tilton, the husband of the woman involved, decided that he would join Victoria's campaign, and he actually wrote articles that supported her. However, eventually he grew weary of doing this as well, and so he then dropped his support, and immediately the Woodhull Claflin Weekly published the story. Now, it's funny because initially it landed the two ladies in jail. And you say, well, what happened? Were they sued for slander, defamation of character? No, they were arrested by the post office for sending obscene material through the mail. Now, of course, it was just an article about this affair. It's not like it was porn, as you can see today. But eventually, you know, they were released. They were also acquitted at the trial. Now, it wasn't too much longer after that that Cornelius Vanderbilt died. Well, Tennessee did pretty well. She was given an oil painting and an unknown amount of money. And the money was supposed to be used to study spiritualism. I think most of it ended up in her pocket. But then what's interesting is the rest of the Vanderbilt estate. Now, $95 million went to the eldest son, William. Cornelius and his eight sisters then were to split $5 million. So needless to say, Cornelius is kind of bent over this, and he approaches Victoria to help him by testifying that their father had mental lapses. Well, older brother William probably didn't end up with the $95 million for nothing. He figured out what was going on, and so he made sure that Tennessee and Victoria received enough money to go to England and just kind of lay around until the trial and all that stuff was taken care of, which they did. And so that took care of that little hassle. Now, while in England, the sisters are just not going to sit around doing nothing. In 1885, Tennessee met Francis Cook through acquaintances and friends of the Vanderbilts and whatever. They were well known in the various circles. She then, of course, he asked her to conduct a séance, which she of course did. And what he wanted to do is the poor guy wanted to communicate with his dead wife. And during the séance, according to Tennessee, you know, who was supposed to be a good medium, Lady Cook told her husband that she needed to marry Tennessee, which he did a few weeks later, and turned out pretty good for her. And when Mr. Cook died in 1901, the new Lady Tennessee Cook then inherited $2 million. It's a pretty good fee for the seance. Now, I can't complain completely about her. I mean, she used her money for some good. She built homes for former prostitutes, kind of reformed things. She actually built a school for fathers to try to educate people on not leaving and running off from their families. But Tennessee Claflin died in 1923, and her sister Victoria survived her, and she left Victoria $500,000. So it's quite an interesting little character here. Now, the sources for this is Harry Ward Beecher by Hibben and the Encyclopedia of Mistresses by Sova. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and leave a comment, ask a question, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.